Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, as always, and alongside me, again, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I managed to actually get a haircut today during my lunch, which feels awesome.
Nice.
Trying to figure out how to buy a new graphics card, but it's expensive.
Graphics cards are, in fact, expensive, but this is not a computer building podcast. Although that would be fun.
That would be fun.
This is a racing podcast. Also, there's too much competition in that space.
Like who?
Exactly.
I can't think of anyone.
Canadian comes to mind.
Or the employees of said Canadian continuing to leave and start their own channels.
And that are also massive.
If yes. I had a nickel for every employee who's left LTT and started their own tech channel in the past month, I'd have two nickels.
It's not a lot. It's weird that it's happened twice.
But it's weird that it's happened twice. Yeah.
All right. Let's dive into some racing. We've only got one race to talk about, and that will be the case for the rest of the season, most likely, unless something horrible happens. Mm. Singapore Grand Prix for Formula One. Let's go through the top 10 in qualifying to give our lovely listeners some context. On pole position with a great time was George Russell, followed by Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri. Fourth and fifth were Antonelli and Norris. Sixth through 10 were Hamilton, Leclerc, Hadjar, Behrman, and Alonso. Moving to the race, Lando Norris jumped ahead of Antonelli and Piastri at the start. He did make contact with Verstappen and Piastri while passing Piastri, which did not make Oscar particularly happy. Leclerc passed Hamilton and Antonelli on the start as well. Alonso made his way through the pack throughout the race. Sainz went very long on strategy and found himself in the points by the end of the race. Lap traffic made the race at the front interesting towards the end. And right at the end, Hamilton's brakes failed with a lap and a half to go. He limped home to the finish line, finishing less than a second in front of Fernando Alonso, but ended up getting a 5-second penalty for cutting the track multiple times on his last few laps.
Classic.
Yep. So, results of the race. George Russell won. He basically led the entire thing, followed by Max Verstappen and Lando Norris on the podium. Fourth and fifth were Piastri and Antonelli. Sixth through 10 were Leclerc, Alonso, Hamilton, Behrman, and Sainz. 11 through 15 were Hadjar, Tsunoda, Stroll, Albon, and Lawson. 16 through 20 were Colapinto, Bortoleto, Ocon, Gasly, and Hülkenberg. So,
what do you think of this race?
There have been better races. I mean, I honestly, I don't think the race was horrible. I think the TV direction was
weird.
Pretty much the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. So, McLaren, with this race has now won the Constructors' Championship. So, they have sealed that deal. And so when Lando crosses the line in third place, winning the Constructors for McLaren, we then see for the next, like, 2-3 minutes, just pictures and images of the McLaren team celebrating and Lando celebrating in his car and Oscar punching air and all of the driver's girlfriends' reactions. Meanwhile, Lewis Hamilton has no brakes and is, like, sparking along the ground somewhere around the track. Fernando Alonso closes a 40-second gap in less than a lap, and we don't get to see any of it except for on the timing board. I'm screaming at the TV.
You were screaming at the TV?
I was like, show us the race. I want to see the race. I don't want to see Lando's girlfriend for the 50th time this race.
Or Carlos Sainz's girlfriend, who they show almost every race.
Every race, yeah.
Or partner.
I don't know. The TV direction was horrible. It's like we've got an actual exciting thing happening on the track for probably the second time this race.
Yeah, the first time in 26 laps.
Right. And they're showing everything but that. So that was frustrating. But overall, I mean, I think as far as Singapore goes, it's usually either a dud or it's a slow burn. And this was like a slow burn. I think it was exciting at the end with the lap traffic. There wasn't any overtaking or anything really, but it definitely added to the intensity and the excitement of it.
Yeah. The radio messages. We got some good radio messages.
We did. We get
this time around.
Ones. Yeah. But yeah, there was some drama at McLaren after Lando kind of booted Oscar out of the way at the start. Totally unintentional. Oscar started whining about it, saying it was unfair. McLaren kind of created this problem for themselves by saying, oh, we're going to move and swap drivers because something happened that wasn't fair earlier in the season. And now they've got themselves in this pickle where something happens that's not technically fair. And now they're not swapping the cars, which I'm glad they didn't.
Who could have predicted?
That would have been insane. I mean, even if roles were reversed, if they that would have been wild. No reason to swap the cars there. So I agree with McLaren's decision, but I can see where Oscar's coming from, where he's like, well, you made me swap back because Lando got a slow pit stop in Italy. And now this happens where he literally punts me off the track and I don't get to pass him again.
Yeah.
So I see where he's coming from. McLaren made the right choice. Frustrating thing for Piastri, of course. But Rubbin is racing.
Indeed.
Yes. What else did we get from this race? Ferrari struggled a little bit. Their car was falling apart. Both of them, I think Leclerc's was also having issues,
yeah,
but not quite as bad as Hamilton's.
That's nothing that new, though.
Yeah. True.
So, yeah, that's pretty much as normal. Yeah, TV direction was bad. Fun radio messages. Fernando Alonso threatened to unplug his radio.
Yeah. He's like, stop talking to me, Ryan.
And for some reason, has a mini beef with Hamilton still, which I always love to see flare up.
When did that happen?
Something on Instagram. I saw it on Reddit talking about something on Instagram, so it might be completely blown out of proportion.
He was talking about, I don't remember what he said about Hamilton. I remember him saying that he needed a penalty because he kept cutting the track. Or he was also saying, like, Hamilton shouldn't have been allowed to race with a car that has no brakes.
Mm.
And so he was like, you should have pulled over. So just complaints trying to get another position. That's racing drivers for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to have hurt seeing that car limping home and then finishing 0.4 of a second behind a car that's broken down. But yeah.
What else? I guess we could go over other McLaren news, or would you rather?
Sure.
We do have a little bit of kind of paddock news. It's more McLaren IndyCar related.
Let's do that.
But it's still kind of tangentially F1 related. But today is the opening of the court case between Alex Palou and McLaren. McLaren Racing as a whole, since it envelops F1 and IndyCar, unlike some teams which have separate F1 or McLaren. Kind of has one overarching company that does both F1 and IndyCar. And it's not, crucially, a court case to decide whether Palou broke his contract with McLaren to go race for Chip Ganassi. It's more to establish the damages that he's liable for breaking that contract. The main premise of this, why there's a whole court case in the first place, is an allegation that Palou was essentially going to join McLaren on the promise of getting a shot at the F1 seat. Obviously, that was never going to happen, you could argue. They signed Piastri pretty soon after.
It was all happening at the same time.
It was all happening at the same time, yeah. So Palou's side of the argument is he dropped out of his agreement because he felt he was being strung along by McLaren, who was never going to get an F1 seat, and that was the main reason he would have joined the McLaren IndyCar team, was to get a chance at that seat. Obviously, McLaren disagrees and is like, no, you totally would have gotten a shot at the seat. And that Brown even said that he was a backup option for the McLaren F1 team. So the whole thing, I'm kind of reading through the Reuters article here, looking for anything more, but that's the main gist of it. So
yeah. Well, who knows, man? They keep treating Oscar like a heaping pile of garbage. He might not be around much longer. I mean, George Russell keeps denying Mercedes contract offers for some reason. So
you think George Russell's going to McLaren?
No. I'm just saying. No, I'm saying if that's Mercedes, crazy. if Russell keeps denying Mercedes, they might just be like, "Hey, Oscar, we have a seat open if you want." Unlikely, but
yeah,
it seems like I think I saw today that George Russell has now declined 3 offers that Mercedes has made him.
I didn't realize it was Russell declining the offers.
It's Russell That's declining hilarious. The offers because he wants longer extensions.
Mm.
But they're so eager to get Max, I think, that they're just like, that. We're just going to go year to year and take it 1 year at a time.
I can see Russell not being happy with that.
Yeah. Obviously, Antonelli's their golden boy right now, which...
Yeah, but Russell's been not a slouch. I mean, he won the last race, and he's been performing really consistently.
No, Russell's good. I mean, he's a solid driver.
We all like to hate on the posh British boy.
Yeah. I mean, no, he's a good driver. Like, there's no reason why Mercedes should switch anytime soon unless they can land Verstappen somehow. I wouldn't even switch for Piastri given the opportunity.
Yeah.
And
honestly, I'd rather switch Antonelli for Verstappen, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Antonelli has a lot of upside. I think it's just going to take him a couple years. But, yeah, there's all those rumors flying around, and, you know, we're still hearing. We're not hearing Pelota.
We're still here, he says. We're still here. Yeah, how many more races do we have, Nathan?
I don't know.
According to RevHang.com.
6 or 7, I think. I think 6, yeah. Yeah, because... McLaren tied the record for the most races left in the season. Winning the championship was 6. Just imagine if Sergio Perez was good. How fast Red Bull would have won it.
Jeez, okay.
No, we're not going back to the Perez slander until next year.
He might be great. He might be so back. You never know.
If he's so back, I will take everything back that I ever said. All right, so moving into the standings, driver standings, Oscar Piastri is still in the lead of the championship at 336 points, followed by Lando Norris at 314, only a 22-point gap at the moment, and Max Verstappen is in a somewhat distant third at 273 points. Constructors, McLaren has won it. It's going to be a battle for second now. Mercedes at 325, Ferrari at 300, and Red Bull at 290.
It's crazy that Mercedes has exactly half the points of McLaren.
Yeah.
Once they've clinched the series with 6 races to go.
Yeah, pretty nuts.
Wild. Do you think Ferrari has any chance of catching Mercedes, or do you think Mercedes is going to widen that gap?
I think Mercedes is going to widen the gap. Ferrari's kind of been stagnant development-wise since the summer break, even before then, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think they've really brought any meaningful improvements to the car since
like Imola?
Since 2021.
Okay. We're going that far back.
When was the last time they were competitive? 2022? 2022,
yeah.
Yeah, so about since then, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think Red Bull will catch Ferrari with the way that Max, the car, despite what Max has been saying about the car does seem to be a little faster for Max. Do you think Red Bull will catch Ferrari?
That's an interesting question. I think Red Bull will finish ahead of Ferrari, yes.
Ooh.
It's going to be close, though, because you got 2 Ferrari drivers that are...
They're always in the top 10.
They're both finishing in the points, but they're usually like between 5th and 9th-ish in that range. And so if you got Max finishing 1st and 2nd, it's going to be close. I mean, obviously, Yuki's not going to do much for the Red Bull case for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But
no, we didn't even see him this race. Where was he?
No, he finished, like, almost last, I think.
Where's that guy?
Oh, no, 12th.
12th? Only 2 places outside points behind Hadjar.
Yeah. I mean, he qualified 13th and finished 12th, so we call that progress. Tsunoda is not He scored 20 points this year. Tomax is 273, so I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
And I think like 10 of those points were with RB in the first couple races. All right. Pit stop championship time. Speaking of Yuki Tsunoda, he did actually have the fastest pit stop this week.
Wow.
The time of 2.05 seconds. Followed by Norris and Hamilton. And Antonelli and Leclerc, 6-10, were Hadjar, Lawson, Russell, Stroll, and Colapinto.
Notably, some pretty terrible ones at crucial points during the race.
Yep.
Yep.
Piastri had a slow pit stop.
Yep, there's always got to be one for McLaren.
Yep. Alonso had his fastest was 9.33 seconds, and Bortoleto's fastest was 11.17 seconds.
Was that for his nose change?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was his only pit stop, so.
Yeah, I think everyone did a one stop this race, didn't they?
There were a couple two stoppers, but.
Really?
Yeah, I think, I think Stroll stopped twice. I don't know. There were a few.
Stroll doesn't count.
There were 24 pit stops total, so.
Okay.
But yeah. All right. Standings, nothing has changed. And constructors or drivers, really. So, overtake of the week. I gave this to Ollie Bearman for his overtake on Alex Albon. Absolutely sent it down the inside of one of the last corners. I don't know how he made it stick, but he did. And Albon was like, okay, that just happened.
You love to see a backmarker team making moves like that.
Yeah.
They have nothing to lose.
The man flew down the inside of Albon. It's like he forgot to brake for the corner, but he somehow stayed on the track.
Surely not.
All right. Moving into our predictions. For Singapore, top five, to remind everybody, was Russell, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, and Antonelli. What'd you have, Ben?
I absolutely missed on this one. I had Norris, Piastri, Russell, Leclerc, and Sainz for my top five. Crazy. I don't know what I was thinking, having top Sainz in the top five. And I had Hülkenberg as my dark horse, who constantly was trying to go off the track to escape. So
yep.
That's how my prediction bracket went for this week.
Yep. I had Piastri, Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, and Russell with Lawson as my dark horse. So I got second and third correct.
Yeah, actually pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. Fastest lap went to Lewis Hamilton. What'd you say?
I had Lando Norris.
I had Verstappen. Driver of the day went to Fernando Alonso. What did you say?
Crazy. I had a Hülkenberg.
I had Fernando Alonso.
That is insane.
You called me crazy.
That's a crazy read.
Yep. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. I just had the sense.
Do you think he won it for his outright performance? Or do you think he won it because of funny radio messages? Partially.
Yeah, both.
The vaguely veiled death threats against his team.
Yeah. All right. Top five for Austin, Texas, the United States Grand Prix. What do you got, Ben?
We're finally back. We got Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Russell, and Hamilton. Because Hamilton, I feel like, generally does okay at COTA.
Mm-hmm.
Got to give him a chance. And then Bortoleto is my dark horse. Because once Sauber didn't pull through last week, maybe the other one will.
Yep. I have Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, Russell, and Leclerc with Albon as my dark horse. I also thought about Hamilton, but he's in a Ferrari, and I couldn't in good
conscience. So is Leclerc.
I mean, yeah, but he's also Leclerc. So
okay, fair.
All right, fastest lap. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Piastri for this one.
And I've got Verstappen. Driver of the day, what do you got?
I have Verstappen.
I've got Piastri. So we flip-flopped on those ones. All right. Words of wisdom, Ben. What do you got for us this lovely evening?
Yes. So I've been playing a lot more Helldivers too. There's a lead up to this, but I have to start on a path to get to the journey. That didn't make any sense.
You gotta start on a path to get to the journey.
Anyways.
Wiser words have never been spoken.
Listen, I painted two houses in a month so far.
Fair.
I've been playing a lot of Helldivers too. Famously, difficult game to run. There's a lot of enemies, a lot of explosions, very cinematic. I want a GPU that can run it at better than medium settings that gets above 60 FPS. I have a 6700 XT running at 1440p, it's barely hanging on, dude. And I need something a little more. I've been wanting something a little more for a while, because eventually I would like to get into a little bit of 4K gaming, get a 4K screen, because I'm an elitist and all that stuff.
There you go.
So I've been looking at, you know, 6950 XTs, 7900 XTs. I don't want to go NVIDIA because all their stuff's moving to AI anyways, and I don't really believe that AI is a replacement for actual rasterization performance. So I'm looking for a 7900 XT is what I'm looking for. But they're like $500 used. It's brutal out here, man. So I have realized that I have things that I don't really use that I can sell. And it's not really something that's ever occurred to me before. Usually I think of like, oh, I can like, you know, save up a little here and there. But you can also like, everybody's got a little something they can sell that they don't use. Especially if they're wanting to replace it or they just, yeah, don't use it as much. So, yeah, just looking at every so often, it's good to take a look around and see what you can sell to declutter, and maybe you can get a graphics card out of it.
There you go.
We'll see. I have a Yoshimura AT2 slip-on muffler if you want to buy it. $400.
Good stuff, Ben.
I feel like Sam Witwicky in the first Transformers movie. He's like trying to sell his grandpa's glasses in the middle of his high school class.
Yep. All right. Good words of wisdom. Sell stuff to get rid of stuff, and also make sure, see if you want to buy something else.
Yeah.
With the money that you make.
It's cyclical.
Yes. It's a vicious cycle.
It really is. Speaking of vicious cycles,
it's time for Ben's Craigslist pick of the week.
I've got something crazy for us today. Not practical at all. Not even necessarily that good of a deal, I would say, compared to some of the other stuff that I've found. But it is pretty cool. I have found a 2008 BMW M6. So the M6, particularly this generation, the 6 Series wasn't around for a whole long time. I mean, they had the original version around during the 90s and 2000s, but they discontinued it a while back, like a decade ago almost now.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it. It's, you know, just a big coupe that BMW made. The 8 Series has kind of replaced it now. But anyways, I digress. The M6 had the 5-liter V10 from the M5, which was the only generation of M5, that generation that had the V10. They moved to a twin-turbo V8 afterward. This one has the 5-liter V10. Really cool. Revs above 8,000 RPM. Aluminum block, all that good stuff. Really cool. Really great engine. That's like the main thing these cars were praised for, was the motors back then. Same for the flat, or the 8 Series, or the 8-cylinder in the 3 Series. That was just a really good time for naturally aspirated BMW motors. They were kind of taking a shot on that. But what's special about this M6, aside from being $28,000 and you can't get them anymore, this one is built. And when I say built, I mean it has a big brake package and has a, what's it called? A supercharger for the V10. The biggest one made for it, allegedly, according to this Craigslist posting, which means it makes 600 horsepower to the wheels. In a rear-wheel drive coupe from BMW, it has 392 gears. For comparison, 392 gears is generally what you see in like heavy-duty towing vehicles that need a really short gearing in order to actually tow really heavy loads. So it's got super short gearing. It's got 600 horsepower to the wheels from a supercharged V10, and it's got the sequential manual gearbox. That's what the SMG stands for, right? Yeah.
Yes.
The 7-speed SMG, which, you know, they're a bit more brutal to shift than a DCT.
Yep.
They lurch a little bit more, just to say.
I want to point something out that might be my favorite line I've ever seen.
Okay.
On any car ad.
Okay.
On Craigslist ever. Tires are shot. Fronts are fine, but backs get changed with the oil.
And it is a BMW V10, so the oil does get changed fairly frequently.
Rear tires get changed with the oil.
I missed that. That's awesome.
That's insane.
Real RX-8 moment there.
For real.
Oh, I just saw a picture of Under the Hood. That's absurd. But it's really cool. And it's even got like the little add-on cup holder because they didn't really have cup holders in those generations of cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got the little like stick-on plastic cup holder that you had after the fact if you really want to carry a drink. Not that you'd be able to keep a drink from spilling in this car, no. I suspect. But I just... The back end is really ugly. I'm not going to lie. I've always hated the back end of that generation of M6. Yeah. I know it's, you know, their debut of, like, their fancy flame surfacing or whatever it's called. That revolutionized how you create body structure and panel design on a car. I think it doesn't look good.
It looks like a freaking Saturn. Yeah, it's...
I was going to say it looks like the back end of one of the old... not the oldest Thunderbirds, but the back end of the retro Thunderbirds that they came out with in, like, 2005.
Oh, yeah.
Where it just, like, slopes down really heavily.
Yeah.
Like, it should have been a hatchback, like a Panamera. Like, that kind of profile.
Mm-hmm.
But then they added, like, the biggest duck lid spoiler and just made that the entire trunk. And I don't really like that part. Good. The back doesn't look good. The front looks gorgeous. Really cool. It's got, like, the flattened look. It looks really cool.
It's got the classic BMW like split forward intake before they made it gigantic and ugly.
Yep, it's got the best iteration of the kidney grill. Man, I really can't talk today. And it's still got the halo headlamps that they don't really do that much anymore, which sucks.
But... Also, I love he's willing to trade for an air cooled Porsche. Like, this guy's a man of taste.
Dang.
No Targa, no 914. No Targa.
Wow.
Well.
Get this man a 933 stat.
There you go.
I would prefer to sell this car to somebody mature or who has attended some sort of motorsport school. Things get real serious real quick. I believe you, my dude.
I believe him too. So he'd take a 944. I can find him a 944 for like $4,000.
944 is not air cooled though.
Is it not? I thought it was.
What? If it is, that will be revolutionary to me.
Oh, it's not. You're
it's
right.
It's not. Thank goodness.
Okay, I am a scrub. I'll take it.
Yeah. So like 933 earlier.
Okay, never mind. I was thinking of. It's unique because it's not rear engine.
Yes.
It's not unique because it's air cooled.
Yeah. I would totally drive a 944 though.
Oh, I cool cars. Almost bought a 944 instead of my RX-8. I was on my way down to Gold Beach to buy a 944. And the guy called me and told me he sold it out from under me.
Which way, Western man? It's like the picture of like the cow in the maze where it splits off at first and it's like RX-8, 944. But they both end at the same destination, which is...
Garbage car.
Losing $4,000 on the car that you bought a year ago.
Yep. Yeah. I would have had so much fun. I loved my RX-8. I loved it so much. I would have loved a 944 as well.
Yeah.
Man.
But that's my car. It's pretty cool. I don't think you should buy it. I don't think anybody should buy this.
No one should buy this car.
But it is really cool. And if you have $28,000 to spend and you're okay with either keeping it until it's scrap or selling it for $15,000 next year, then go off.
This car is going to be wrapped around a tree within 5 years. I guarantee it.
You're going to be able to... In 5 years, there's going to be a supercharged V10 motor for sale on the parts side of Craigslist, and it's going to be a great deal.
Yep.
And you're going to know exactly where it came from.
It'll come with two tires.
Yep. Two tires, bald, and the transmission lever, and that'll be it.
There you go. And the cup holder.
And the cup holder, yeah. Cup holder. Which will probably be the most reliable, worthwhile part of the car.
Exactly.
But... It's really cool. It's pretty unique. Not all the time do you see a supercharged V10 BMW for sale on Craigslist that actually looks fairly clean.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't been owned by a teenager. So I appreciate that. So that's my pick of the week.
Good stuff, Ben. All right. Well, that will wrap up today's episode. Thank you all so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you enjoyed it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listen on. It really helps us out. If you want to see more, subscribe. If you want to see updated standings on for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from F1, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the Formula One United States Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.